This episode of A Week Late is brought to you by FenEntertainment.com, offering the very best and free independent music from the great sunny state of Florida and beyond. Download underground hip-hop, rock, industrial, drum and bass, dubstep, ska, drumstep, jungle, and much, much more. From single tracks to full sets, albums, and remixes, all for free. Plus the latest videos that get you up to speed on all the current tech, art, music, video games, TV, movies, pop culture, and even anime. No ads, no pop-ups, no flashy distraction banners, and it's absolutely free. Never charge for anything. For all this and more information, go to www.fenentertainment.com.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of A Week Late Podcast. I am your host, Darren, a.k.a. Analysis489 on the Twitter, and also Xbox Live, if anybody's out there gaming, and games I will get to in a little bit. This is another retro episode in which I review movies no longer in theaters. I finally got around to picking Super 8 for this episode for a couple different reasons. I'm a huge fan of J.J. Abrams. This movie was produced by Steven Spielberg. And it's like a mystery sci-fi thriller. And I guess I can read the description here, but for people that is the first time, who is their first time listening to this show, this is A Week Late Podcast, and I review movies, games, and TV shows that, by the time I review them, have probably been out for quite some time, either because of laziness or money. Maybe I'm broke all the time. I don't know. But I do find ways to review these films, and hopefully, if you haven't seen them, hopefully there'll be some that you can go check out. Maybe I turn you on to some you like, some you don't like. But I picked J.J. Abrams not only because I like him a lot, but because there are more than a few TV premieres going on right now in this premiere week, premiere month, fall premieres, a lot of which are shows that are either created or directed by sometimes both J.J. Abrams. But I'll be getting to those, like, in the TV section in the second portion. In the first portion, I give my expectations for the movie. In this case, since I'm already a huge fan of J.J. Abrams, I have high expectations for anything he does. I would hope that this one would be no different. If you guys aren't familiar with J.J. Abrams, he is the creator of many TV shows, the writer and director of the Star Trek reboot, which they're filming, or they're probably done filming by now. The sequel to Star Trek is coming out, and he co-wrote and directed that, I believe, as well. Yes, he did. He's also the creator of shows on TV like Fringe, which premiered this past couple weeks. He is the creator of a TV show called, Person of Interest. I believe he did the pilot to that he directed the pilot to that one, or is actually either created that show or EPs it, something like that. But many things, including some failed TV shows, but for the most part, he has a really good success rate as far as TV shows are concerned. Movies, there's this one movie that was sort of a found footage film that J.J. Abrams did. Oh God, why can't I remember this? Cloverfield was the name of that movie. If you're not familiar with that movie, go check it out. It doesn't have that many big names in it. I know T.J. Miller is in that movie. He plays one of the best friends in the movie. I mean, J.J. Abrams, just look him up if you don't know what, you know, he was also involved with the writing and production of Lost. I mean, just a ton of stuff. There's also an untitled Cloverfield sequel. It looks like that's coming out soon, and he'll be producing that. Not sure if he's going to be directing it or not. But yeah, he likes to do a lot of movies that are sort of out of the box. I'd like to refer to him as the good M. Night Shyamalan. But I also like M. Night Shyamalan movies. I'm one of those guys. The description for Super 8 reads as follows. In 1979, year I was born, just to let you know, do the math, Ohio, several youngsters are making a zombie movie, did not know that, interesting, with a Super 8 camera, hence the name of the film. In the midst of filming, the friends witness a horrifying train derailment and are lucky to escape with their lives. They soon discover that the catastrophe was no accident, as a series of unexplained events and disappearances soon follows. Deputy Jackson Lamb, the father of one of the kids, searches for the terrifying truth behind the crash. That is a description as read off of Epics, which is the channel I'm going to be using to view said movie. It stars Kyle Chandler, Elle Fanning, who for many of you that may not know, is the younger sister of Dakota Fanning, Joel Courtney, and A.J. Michalka, I believe that's how you pronounce the last name. It's really funny because Dan Castellaneta, who I believe has something to do with the production of The Simpsons TV show. He's actually in this movie, probably very briefly. But yeah, that is it. These retro episodes, since I don't have a co-host for these, they tend to be a little bit shorter. But I do have some TV and video game news that I want to get into. That'll be in the second half. If you haven't seen it, go out and watch Super 8 while the music plays, and then come back and listen, because if there are any spoilers, I tend to get into those in the second portion. Just as a little tidbit, this movie got an 82% on the Rotten Tomatoes. Wow, that's actually pretty good. Rotten Tomatoes is usually pretty tough on reviews. That's out of 260 reviews on Rotten Tomatoes. It got 82%. It's pretty good. So go check it out, however you can. Like I said, my expectations are high for this movie, rated PG-13. So probably not going to be too heavy on blood and gore and language. But J.J. Abrams movies, even Cloverfield, well, actually, it did kind of get violent. Spoiler alert, people explode in that movie. Or maybe a person explodes. But yeah, go check out Super 8 and come back for the second portion of Weekly Retro episode for Super 8. It runs about, close to 2 hours, about 8 minutes shy of 2 hours. So hope I can get this one out on time. All right, catch you in a bit. Okay, and we are back with the second portion of a week late podcast, retro episode for Super 8. Pretty unexpected. There are probably a lot of spoilers in this, so I'm going to get right into what I thought about it. First of all, very unexpected, like lots of unexpected action, a lot of some chaos is involved later on in the movie, which I appreciated. But what I wanted to mention before I get into the rating is the fact that this movie was nominated 34 different times for different awards, three of which were Academy Awards and four other wins. Didn't take the time to write them down, but seven wins total, 34 nominations, one of which being J.J. Abrams for Best Director, Best Music, and Best Performance by a Young Actor, who was the Joel Courtney character, who was played by Joel Courtney in the movie, I believe. And I would agree, although the music score was a really important part of some parts of the movie, this is probably one of the best movies I've seen in a really long time. I'm kind of sad I didn't see it earlier. Kyle Chandler, who plays one of the main character's father in this movie, people will recognize him from TV shows like Friday Night Lights, and there was another TV show that he did a while back called The Evening Paper or something like that. Early Edition is what it was. And it was a TV show about a guy that got the newspaper ahead of time and helped solve different a chain of events that would prevent somebody from dying or something bad from happening. And this movie is kind of along that vein. The direction by J.J. Abrams, the long sweeping camera movements, and the ability to do like a movie inside of a movie, which he's really good at doing. Same sort of thing was done in Cloverfield, but in a different way. So I really, I wasn't disappointed by my expectations for J.J. Abrams. I might be a little bit biased. I'll be the first to admit that, but for good reason, because for somebody to have this in their imagination and write and direct it, I think it's amazing. The kids did a great job in this movie. The kids were the central part of this movie. There was a side storyline inside of a movie that they were trying to make a zombie movie on one of the characters' Super 8 cameras, the main character, who's a good actor in real life, it sort of shows to his expertise at such a young age that he's able to act, that he can act badly in this zombie movie inside of a sci-fi movie. I'm about to get into spoilers, but the scale for retro episodes is 0 to 5, and I would say that this movie gets a strong 4.5 out of 5 from me. It's almost a perfect movie. I did pick out some inconsistencies in not the storyline, but sort of the timeline, things appearing in certain shots that weren't in the previous shot and stuff like that. But I'm not one of those people that usually looks for that kind of thing in a movie, but this one was kind of apparent, and I'm not sure if anybody caught it. But again, before I get into spoilers, anybody that likes sort of the Goonies, this movie had a really Goonies feel to it, especially with the kids being involved. It's a little bit more gory than I would have expected. It wasn't really gory at all, but for a PG-13 movie, I was really surprised to see how some of the people died in this movie. Really good special effects. Like I said, a lot of unexpected stuff, more explosions than I would have expected. But in the vein of adventure movies like Indiana Jones or The Goonies, I think this movie sits right up there with them. So for those that aren't interested, that didn't watch or aren't interested in listening to spoilers, this is where I would get into spoilers. So if you don't want to hear those, stop listening. Thanks for listening thus far. And I'll give you like 5 seconds. But I would imagine anybody who really doesn't want to listen has stopped listening by now. So there you go. You can't really talk about the good things that happened in this movie without spoiling it. So the first thing that I want to get out of the way is the sort of plot, the beginning plot to this movie that sort of stretches throughout the whole thing, obviously. Group of kids are sneaking out at night to make a film, to enter into a film festival. And while doing so, at a train station in the evening, I guess there's an unexpected train that comes through, and they just finished practicing a scene, and they're going to reshoot the scene for production value, as the child director states in the movie. And during that shooting of the that particular scene, they witness the passing train being derailed by a white truck that was driving on the tracks to derail this train. The description that I read off is a little bit misleading in that they say that the mystery lies behind how the train wasn't wrecked by accident, but they really didn't go into that too much. I would imagine that sort of thing, I don't know, it's either accidental or the description's put that way on purpose so as to be more of a surprise to the audience in the movie. I'm not too sure about that. But as it happens, the U.S. Air Force ends up being the people behind who owned the train, and we come to find out that there was an alien on board that train. And that the person that was driving the truck had some sort of link to the alien and was in actuality trying to help it escape. through that whole thing, we have the main character's father, played by Kyle Chandler, who's a cop of the town, goes looking for the missing sheriff that was abducted by the alien. Without going into the whole story, one of the reasons I didn't give this movie a perfect score is because of the way that the alien was sort of defeated. There wasn't really a fight at all. But the purpose of how the movie played out was sort of to feel compassion for this alien. It's gathering parts. It's dispersing the local pet population, which is another plot hole that I kind of picked out that they never went back to as to why that was happening. What happened was is that there was a group of pets and animals that came up missing, and the sheriff's department was getting phone calls from the surrounding cities, finding all these missing pets, and I thought that was going to be a big plot point to it, but it kind of like, it was brought up and it wasn't really brought back. After they sort of figured that out, it just kept going from there. And then the whole thing with the alien, it's like it was abducting people and eating them as food, and then stealing car engines to put this whole thing together for it to go back home. When it catches up with our kid heroes at the end, pretty much, and this is the biggest spoiler ever because it's at the end of the movie, the kid and the alien, like, pretty much have a conversation, and the alien goes away. You know, probably not the best way I would have imagined J.J. Abrams to do something like that, but like I said, the acting and the score being sort of, there are some suspenseful moments in this movie. I wouldn't necessarily call it a thriller, but I would call it like a sort of suspenseful mystery thriller esque or mysterious suspense, but it was mostly brought up during the music, during certain scenes, that you're expecting something to pop out and it doesn't, or sometimes it does. But I wouldn't call this movie a horror movie or a thriller. It's more of a suspenseful mystery kind of thing. But if the music wasn't as good as it was, then that suspense probably wouldn't have been brought on in the filmmaking. But I don't think it was too long. I thought it was going to be a little bit too lengthy for my taste, but I think that the final cut version of this movie was just as long as it needed to be. I would have liked them to go a little bit more into the backstory of the alien itself, where it came from, what it was doing here, and the whole mystery behind the Air Force having this particular alien in custody. There were a lot of short films inside of this larger film that had to do with a lot of, like, film quality stuff, and I can tell that that's one of J.J. Abrams' themes. He likes to have movies inside of movies and reference the actual quality of the film itself and how it's shot, and I kind of respect that. He likes to put forth the unknown, and that creates the suspense. It's not necessarily what's happening on screen, but maybe what's happening off of it or what's inside the box at any given point in time. And he sort of just strings you along, not giving you enough information for you to keep wanting to watch. And not only does he do that in his movies, but his TV shows as well. And he does it really well. So that's why I'm a big fan of his. If you like that kind of stuff, check out Super 8. And let me know if you agree. Hit me up on Twitter. You can do that at analysis489 for my personal one, or at A Week Late, and also the music blog at Fen Promos. But before I let you go, speaking of TV shows, as far as the J.J. Abrams ones are concerned, you can go back to, I mean, it's syndicated now, so you can go to, I think, G4 plays Lost in
in marathons sometimes and in a row. So if you haven't seen Lost and you're not familiar with anything that J.J. Abrams does, go check that out. Also, Super 8 kind of feels like a prequel to Cloverfield. It kind of feels like this may have had something to do with the events that took place in the present day in Cloverfield, because keep in mind everything that happened in Super 8 was in 79 in a town in Ohio, which you kind of seem to forget every once in a while, but they bring up things like CB radios to sort of remind you, and old muscle cars to remind you what sort of era you're in. Also, Fringe and Person of Interest on TV. He had another one called Undercovers. That only lasted one season. It had a pretty good storyline, but a lot of people don't have the patience to wait around for what J.J. Abrams has in store for them. They kind of want all the storyline exposed right away to sort of hook you, but his hook is just patience. You have to wait in order to see what the payoff is. And sometimes you get the payoff and sometimes you don't. But with his movie so far, you usually get the payoff in the form of longer extended periods of time where you get to see the alien or the creature or the bad guy, because usually it's shielded throughout. But that's the way he likes to string us along, and I'm a fan of it. Also, TV premieres that came out besides Person of Interest got picked up for a second season. Fringe, it's on its fifth or sixth and final season, I believe. Dexter has since resurfaced. I believe it's in season 6. I got to get back on that. The Walking Dead has returned for season 3, I believe. That's on AMC. Dexter's on Showtime. We're getting back It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia on FX. Wilfred has come and gone, I believe, due to the contract restraints. You can catch Wilfred kind of still around on Hulu, but it comes out, those episodes are available 30 days after they originally air on FX, which I hear kind of helps it in certain ways. Due to, like, the online numbers that they're starting to pay attention to. All the animation domination stuff on Fox, American Dad, Simpsons, Bob's Burgers is back. If you haven't seen that, it's a really funny show. I think it's in its third season. Supernatural on WB. I don't know what this show is still doing around. From what I hear from people, it's really good. I really never got into it. But I think it's one of the longest-running TV shows on the WB since Smallville. And one of the actors, actually the main actor for Supernatural, was in the first two seasons of Smallville and has had a job on the WB ever since. So, I mean, congrats to him, but maybe I'll pick that up, maybe I won't. Grimm and Once Upon a Time are back. Even though they have to do with the dark side of fairy tales, they're two very different shows. I would say Grimm is a more mature series. Once Upon a Time is fun and a little bit more family-friendly, but sometimes it has its dark sides as well, and I've been watching both. I don't know how long Once Upon a Time is going to be around, but they usually have a really good way of bringing storyline into it to keep you interested enough to keep watching. Raising Hope is back. I think it's second or third season, a new show called 666 Park Avenue, which has, his name escapes me, but he played John Locke in Lost. He plays the I Might Be a Devil character in 666 Park Avenue. I'm hearing good things about it, but I saw the premise behind it, and it's kind of interesting, but with all the stuff I have to catch up on, I don't know if I'll be able to put my time into that show. Not too sure how long it's going to be around. Family Guy and New Girl are back. New Girl is actually really funny. If you haven't seen that, go check that out. It's in its second season, and it's doing quite well. I think they're going to easily pick it up for 3 and 4. Sadly, because I am a fan of Jimmy Fallon, I took the time out to watch Guys with Kids. He executive produced that show, and I believe wrote the jingle, the opening theme for it. I was kind of disappointed. It's got Anthony Anderson in it. And the premise is just three single fathers trying to raise kids and hook up with girls. I don't know. I don't see this show really going anywhere at all. I hope it does, because I like Jimmy Fallon and I wish him nothing but success. But I just think it's a swing and a miss with this one. It's not. I've chuckled a couple times. It's got the girl from Entourage in it too. Well, that's a stupid thing to say because there's a lot of girls in Entourage, but it's not Gabrielle Chirique, but another one that was in. I think that's her name, Gabrielle Chirique. Anyway, besides that, there's also, what else premiered? I'm going to kick myself for not thinking of it right away. I should have written it down, but I got enough stuff here, I think, for once. In the video game world, I'm really excited to play Assassin's Creed 3. I talked about that with my friend Christian in the previous episode. Go check out the Looper episode, which is good. If you haven't seen that, go watch that movie and then download that. I think that's pretty much it. You guys had a super long episode with Looper last week. We got really into a lot of the stuff and TV shows that were premiering. If there's anything that you guys want me to review, whether it be video games or music or TV shows, older movies that I haven't brought up, I'm going to be doing some more documentaries here in a little bit because I'm a big fan of documentaries. I guess that's it. I didn't want to talk your ear off too much, but I wanted to introduce you to some things. If you weren't already watching, go check that stuff out. These shows are designed to be sort of fillers. I don't always have the time to go to the movies, but the retro episodes, like I said before, are ways that I can still bring you guys free stuff to listen to and introduce you to while me not breaking the bank. I don't know. That sounded cavemanish. But if you have any questions or comments, I actually had a comment on Facebook that I'm still talking about. The only real feedback that I had was kind of negative. This person said that I was highly unprepared for a lot of the movies that I watch. But like I said, that's kind of on purpose. I don't like it when trailers spoil movies for me, so I try to do a minimal amount of research as I possibly can so as not to know too much about the movie going into it. I'm sorry if that upsets some people or makes it unlistenable, but I like to be surprised when something happens in a movie. If I know too much going into it, I almost knew too much going into Super 8 because I spent way too much time waiting around to watch it. But I'm glad I did, and I hope you enjoyed this episode. My name is Darren, a.k.a. Analysis489. That's the word analysis, and then the numbers 489 on Twitter. At a week late on Twitter, also facebook.com/analysis49 to hit me up personally. Or if you have a comment on the podcast, you can go to facebook.com/aweeklatepodcast. Hit me up on Gmail, fans.aweeklate@gmail.com. Go to the music blog. I'd like to give a shout out to my boy Deuce Wild. I've mentioned him a couple times on the show. He has since moved out to Colorado and has a show. He continues doing his show out there called the Home Base Radio Show. Check that out at fenentertainment.com. I'm hosting his mixes up on there for free via SoundCloud, and you can download MP3s all day long. He gave us a shout-out on one of the shows. If you like drum and bass and jungle music and dubstep, all the above, check that out. Also, I'll be giving you some updates as to where you can hear our ads on the radio. That's coming up soon, thanks to our friends over at Rocket Sports and Entertainment in Tampa. Been working with them for a while, so that is coming up soon. Thanks for listening. Please tell your friends. Catch us on iTunes. Just go to iTunes.com and type in A Week Late, and it'll give you, I don't know why, but it only gives you the 27 most recent episodes. For full episodes, go to www.aweeklate.com. Scroll down to the one you want to listen to and hit play, or follow the link under the Facebook button to download it to your favorite MP3 or mobile device. Let your friends know. Comment, give me feedback, rate, and subscribe on iTunes. That helps for some reason. And I'm out of here. Thanks for listening. That is A Week Late Podcast Retro Episode 4, Super 8. Thanks for listening. Also, a little bit of an update for those people that are huge stand-up comedy fans. Tig Notaro, who's one of the hosts of one of my favorite podcasts, Professor Blastoff, has released her Largo stand-up show for sale on Louis C.K.'s website. Go to louisck.net. Even though it's pronounced Louis, it's louisck.net. You can get her album there for only $5. It's available in MP3 format. And for those of you that don't know, it is October, and it is Cancer Awareness Month, specifically Breast Cancer Awareness, I believe. And portions of that purchase go to support cancer research. And as of the month of October, Tig Notaro, I believe, has been so far diagnosed free of cancer. So claps to that. It's always good when someone beats the fight. And if you haven't listened or don't know what's going on with that whole thing, Largo is the stand-up show that she was scheduled to do. And that day that she was scheduled to do that, she was diagnosed with cancer. And the stand-up set, I haven't heard it yet, but I have purchased it. It's really easy to do, and it's for a good cause, and it's quite moving, actually. Her whole story and how that happened, but she made it okay to sort of, you know, different people battle with that in different ways and they deal with it in different ways. And this was her way to sort of let everybody be okay with laughing and, I guess, staring down your own mortality in situations. But there you go. A little bit of a bonus at the end. I almost forgot to include that, but I'm glad I remembered. Also, all of Louis C.K. stuff, I think he has 5 different stand-up shows that are available in different formats. It's a really, really good way to give the money directly to the artist and have them sort of be rewarded for how they're changing the industry, in that distribution is no longer a thing that bigger corporations can hold over your head. It's the internet and the digital age of information. So go support that. And again, thanks for listening. That's the second time I said that, or maybe more than that. Catch you next time. A Week Late is brought to you by FenEntertainment.com, offering the very best in free independent music from the great sunny state of Florida and beyond. Download underground hip-hop, rock, industrial, drum and bass, dubstep, ska, drumstep, jungle, and much, much more. From single tracks to full sets, albums, and remixes, all for free. Plus the latest videos that get you up to speed on all the current tech, art, music, video games, TV, movies, pop culture, and even anime. No ads, no pop-ups, no flashy distraction banners, and it's absolutely free. Never a charge for anything. For all of this and for more information, go to www.fenentertainment.com.